Now, there are so many different responses to Christmas, aren't there? You only have to walk around Westfield and look at people's faces to know that some people really love Christmas and others just hate it, don't they? Well, they just endure it, don't they, really? We get the Scrooge who's so tight, doesn't want to buy anything for anyone. They just want to continue saving their money and they want the time of spending to be over. And then we get the six-year-old boy who, you know, well, Christmas produced a lot of presents last year and, well, I'm looking forward to this year. And from, well, Boxing Day last year, it's been a countdown, hasn't it? Thinking about what to put on the list, pure excitement. A bit like the boy I heard in Kmart the other day, excited to show his mum what he wanted to get his little sister. And then there's the stressed mum. So much to organise. Everyone else seems to be on holidays, but not mum. Oh, no way. She's busy running around, making sure that all the kids are busy, there's food on the table, and to make sure that everyone's got a present. And then the obsessive dad. Well, you know who I mean. The one who keeps buying more and more camping gear so that the holiday mansion is just right. The right seating, the right lighting, and the right way to keep drinks cool. Now, there are all ways we respond at Christmas, aren't they? We can, and as we continue our series today, what we're going to see in this message to the shepherds is what's most striking about this message to the shepherds is their response, how they respond to the message of the angel. So how do they respond? That's what we're going to be looking at. And we're going to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And there's an outline in your bulletin. You might like to get both of those open so that you can see where we're going and get some understanding of this passage. Now, it begins with a focus on the shepherds watching their flocks at night in verse 8. And then in verse 9, things get scary. If you look at verse 9, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now, here's a reaction that we're used to over the last number of weeks. What we've seen, an angel appear to Zechariah and he was gripped with fear. We saw that the angel told Mary not to be afraid. And here we have the shepherds terrified because an angel has appeared to them. We're used to it, aren't we? Now, there must be something about the appearance of an angel that causes people to think they're going to die. And as you look at verse 9 and see what's happened, the angel appeared, the glory of God shone around them, and so it's not surprising that they're terrified. It says literally that it's a great fear that makes them fearful. And that's why it says they were terrified. And like other angelic encounters, the angel responds in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Don't be afraid. The angel's got good news that will cause great joy. A terrifying moment to bring good news that will cause great joy. Now, this is a surprising event, isn't it? But another thing that's really surprising is that God has decided to tell this good news to lowly shepherds. Now, the obvious choice even today would be to announce this news to the leaders of the country, maybe someone with a lot of followers. That's the sort of person you want to tell this news to. In those days, shepherds weren't to be trusted. A shepherd's testimony was never valid. They were excluded from all religious activity. So it's surprising that God actually goes to them. God goes to announce this great news to the outcasts almost. And although the shepherds respond with fear, the word of the angel calms them down and the angel gets them ready to hear good news that will cause great joy. So what is this good news that this angel is going to announce? Well, we see it in verse 11. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So the news that causes great joy is that a Messiah has been born. Now, we're going to look at the birth of Jesus tomorrow. I'm sort of doing this out of order, aren't we? It's the day before Jesus' birth, but, well, it's the day before Christmas. So we're doing this a bit out of order. But the angel says about this birth that we're going to see tomorrow that it's good news of great joy in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this is the good news, isn't it? This good news is about Jesus. A Saviour has been born. Jesus has been born. The Saviour that all of Israel has been waiting for, the Saviour has been born. Jesus is this Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus was born in this town of David. And friends, this is good news. And then the angel says to the shepherds, this is how you will know that what we're saying is true. And we can see it in verse 12, where it says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. They know he was born in the city of David. That means he was born in Bethlehem. And now they're given another sign. A sign that he'll be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then abruptly breaking into this message of good news, a company of angels breaks into view. It's like an angel was standing before a curtain talking to these shepherds and telling them the good news. And all of a sudden this curtain just is opened up behind this one angel and a company of angels appears. Look at verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Now the word company that's used here is usually used for an army, a huge army. And in this case, this company of angels, their role is to praise God, and they sing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. The company of angels praised the God of heaven because they understood the good news that this child would bring. They knew what was going to happen. They know this child. And so they praise God and lift him up for what he's done to get this child to where he is. Now this is one response that we need to see. The angelic beings knowing what's taking place. They understand and respond their response is the right response, isn't it? To praise and worship God. And then they say, on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. They know that this child will bring peace. Bring peace to those on whom God's favour rests. And we saw this a few weeks back with Mary. Mary was highly favoured. And I spoke about how God choosing Mary for his special purposes. And now we see that peace will come to the recipients of God's favour. So how do we become the recipients of God's favour? Again, it points back to Jesus. See, this is the whole reason Jesus came to earth, to pour out his favour on all people. And even though it's Christmas, well, we can't help but speak of Easter, can we? His death. Because it was at his death that sin was paid for, that the sin debt that each one of us has with God has been paid for, and when we trust in his death for our sins, we stop being enemies of God and we have peace with God. We become friends. See, it's through Jesus, this child that was born, that all who trust in him are the recipients of God's favour. This is God's grace towards his people. Unmerited love by God the Father to his people. God's favour is by grace alone. And what I mean by grace alone is that this favour is a gift from God. Just like those presents under the tree are waiting to be opened, it's a gift. You've done nothing to deserve them and nothing's required in response. We don't buy gifts for one another in the hope that we'll get something better in return. If we do, well, then it fails to be a gift, doesn't it? And God's favour is a gift. His grace to you. And as we hear about God's grace for each one of us, the right response then is to trust him. To say thank you. Thank you for your good pleasure towards us. It's about accepting the gift as a gift. It's about total reliance on the Messiah, as we've heard as we listened through Galatians recently. Total reliance on the Lord to bring you into a relationship with God. See, that's why the great company of angels were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Peace with God comes when his favour rests on us, by grace alone, nothing on our part. Now, sometimes we call this grace good news, and as we head into our next point on your outline, what we see is that the shepherd's response to this good news is to act quickly. Look at verse 15. It says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" The shepherds recognized that the word they received was from the Lord. They understood that it was good news, and so they go. They go and see this thing that they've heard about. They were told where, they were told what to look for, and now in verse 16, we see as they hurry off that things are exactly as they've been told. Look at verse 16. "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." Well, they didn't sit around, did they? They hurried off to the city of David, to Bethlehem, and they found the baby in the manger, just like the angel said. Now, it's clear that these shepherds understood that seeing this child was part of something much bigger. They were told that the child would be where they found him, but they were told something more, weren't they? Now, when you see a baby, it is hard to keep focused, isn't it? It's such a miracle, it's such a wonderful thing to see. At Presbytery the other night, there was a student there with a baby, and the baby was making all sorts of noises. And where was everyone looking? Well, they're all looking at the baby. We didn't know what was going on at the front. But nearly everyone was looking at the baby, and they're all smiling. Now, we could stop and talk about Jesus, the baby that was born, but we need to remember that the shepherds were told that seeing the baby was a sign of something else. It was a sign of something much greater. Look back at verse 11. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, we've already talked about this, but the reason they understand that something much bigger is happening is because the angel told them. The Messiah has come. The Lord is here. The Saviour of Israel has been born. See, this is who Jesus is. So when they see Jesus lying in the manger, the sign to confirm that the Messiah has been born, it tells them that what the angel said was true. And with this knowledge of truth, knowledge that the Saviour has been born, that Jesus will be their Saviour, what do? Look at verse 17. "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." This is amazing news. Not only do the shepherds respond in a hurry to go and see what the angels have said, they also respond by not keeping it to themselves. They have to speak. They have to tell. This is great news. So they tell everyone who's willing to listen. You can imagine them telling the story, can't you? "Oh, the angel came and then there was lots of angels." This is good news for the nation of Israel. Good news. This is the birth of the Messiah that they've been waiting for, and so they can't keep it to themselves. And the response to hearing the shepherd's message is amazement. The people were amazed. Wow, the Saviour has been born. In fact, they get so excited that they start praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, and we see that in verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. What a great response to what they've seen and heard. Good news made real. The Saviour has been born. Jesus the Christ is here. Now, before we head into some application, there's one more response, and that's Mary's response. Now, we know from a few weeks back that the angel Gabriel visited Mary and told her that she would have a child. That was in Luke 1, verse 32. And she was told that Jesus will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. She was told who her son would be. She knew that this pregnancy was the work of the Holy Spirit. She knew that this child was special. And now after giving birth and the angels visited the shepherds and told them what to find, a great company of angels has sung, and now they're in the presence of this child. No doubt the shepherds told Mary and Joseph what they heard and saw. And what's Mary's response to it all? Look at verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now this is monumental, isn't it? The birth of a child from a virgin, and Mary knew it. But as she heard and saw all the news surrounding this newborn child that she would love and care for, she pondered it in her heart. This was something special. She would have treasured this news. It's an amazing birth, and it points to an amazing son. See, this is the Son of the Most High, and Mary treasured all these things, and there's a sense that the more Mary heard about her son, the more she understood. A bit like us, really, isn't it? The more we get to know Jesus, the more we treasure him, and then like the shepherds, our understanding turns to an irresistible desire to speak about Jesus. And that's what we see here, don't we? Understanding of Jesus means that we can treasure what we learn of him, which leads us to speak. And this is what happens with the shepherds. They understand, they see, they treasure, and they speak. And it's an incredible passage that shows a few different responses of the birth of Jesus. And so I wonder what your response to Christmas is. I mean, it really is such a great time in Australia, isn't it? It means beach, it means holidays, it means food and barbecues. There's even seafood. I think I heard on the radio yesterday that they had 130 tons of prawns were sold. And then there's presents and there's many other things as well. I can even get away with mowing the lawn twice a week if I want. But Christmas isn't about seafood and presents, is it? It's about a saviour. It's about God, who is called the Most High, coming to earth as a man to save humanity. See, this is about a story about how God reaches out because of his love for you. So while we enjoy all the traditions and we enjoy giving presents and we enjoy having time together, don't forget the Saviour. The reason we celebrate Christmas is not because a baby has been born, but because God has come to earth. He's come to pay for our sins. He's come to turn his enemies into friends and give us peace. This is a surprising message. A surprise because this is about God becoming a man to save you. Are you surprised that God has come for you? That he cares so much that he took on the form of humanity, became like us, so that you could enjoy him forever? We don't need to fear like the shepherds, because the Saviour has come to rule and reign over us. The message of Jesus is a message of joy, because the Lord is the one who brings peace and acceptance from God himself. And my encouragement to you this Christmas is to understand that the Saviour came to save you. Learn more about who he is and get to know the extent of his love for you. It's surprising he came, but what's even more surprising are the depths that he went to for you. So learn more about him. And as you do this, treasure this knowledge. Think about Jesus. Do like Mary did and ponder these things in your heart. Maybe you could take yourself off for a break in the middle of all the festivities and remind yourself of the reason we celebrate Christmas. And like the shepherds, speak about him. Share about him. Give some thought and time to sharing the good news of Jesus with those around you. And as we come to the end of the year, think and pray about who you'd like to come and know, who you'd like to see come and know Jesus next to you, and start praying for them. See, this is a message that we have seen and heard. So don't keep it to yourself. Share this good news, the news that will cause great joy for all people. Well, let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to take upon himself the sins of the world. Lord, we ask that you give us the space to treasure this message, to not just be concerned with all the food on the table and the presents under the tree, but to remember the real gift of new life that comes through your Son, Jesus. Give us mouths to speak and hearts to know you more. In the strong name of Jesus. Amen.